Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
Why did Jesus speak in confusing parables? He said he did it because he wanted to hide what he was teaching from certain people. And yet we know he taught in order to be understood. He wanted us to get what he was saying. How do those two go together? Well, the answer will help you replace anxiety in your heart with peace once you understand it. We'll be looking at the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4.
Putting it in a parable form forces you. If you're going to understand it, you have to think hard, right? You have to think hard. And that protects you, guards you from becoming shallow. Look down at verse 24. Look what he says. I love this verse. He says, consider carefully what you hear. Consider it carefully. Now, in the Greek, it's really striking because literally it sounds like this. It says, look at what you hear. Look at what you hear. Don't just hear it. Look at it. What you hear, examine it. Pay attention to it. Contemplate it. Unfold it. Give the word a chance to take root in your heart. You know, so often we become shallow soil because we're so distracted. People have their devotions. They read their chapter, slam their Bible closed, and then they're off to, you know, Facebook or whatever. They go about their day. They're like, okay, I got my devotions done. Done with that. And they move on. They don't give it a chance to take root. Whatever spiritual thoughts were in their mind, they're gone. They're gone. They go to church, and the moment the sermon's over, immediately they're focused on lunch, you know, or what's next. Read a chapter of Scripture immediately, right after they're done, turn on the TV, or listen to some music, or look at the news headlines, or check my email, or make a phone call, or whatever. And there's no chance for the roots to take form. So Jesus says, no, don't do that. Once you've heard the word, stop and look at what you heard. Examine it. Or to use Paul's imagery in 1 Corinthians 3:6, water it. Paul says, he planted the seed, then Apollos came and watered the seed. God makes it grow, but we need to water it. We need to tend it. Like a fragile flower trying to survive in a garden, when you learn something from the Bible, man, you got to guard it, you got to protect it, you got to tend it, you got to water it, or it'll just die. It's fragile. You got to let it establish some roots. Psalm 119 and 130 says, the unfolding of your word gives light. The unfolding of your word gives light. God's thoughts are folded up in the Bible. They're compressed. It's like a zip file on your computer. It's compressed down. That's how God can pack so much truth into just one book, just the Bible. We've been studying for thousands of years. There's so much truth in there because it's compressed. And in order to get His Word and for it to have this life-giving effect on your soul that God intended, so you produce a crop, in order for you to really hear God's voice speaking to you through the Scriptures, those truths have to be unfolded, which requires a lot of deep, careful thought and serious study. Otherwise, you don't get it. Back in verse 12, Jesus talked about people who hear, but they don't understand. They see, but they don't perceive. What does that mean? It means they're swallowing it, but they're not digesting it, right? If Jesus just put all the truth of the Bible in real simple, simplistic form, we would never have to work hard enough to actually digest it. That makes sense? Imagine this. Imagine there's a scientist who figured out how to cure cancer. He could cure any cancer with a special kind of food that he developed. If you eat this food, then it'll cure your cancer immediately, but it only works if you eat it when you're ravenously hungry. You have to be just starving hungry in order to eat it the right way. Otherwise, your body won't absorb it. And if you just nibble, you just casually snack on this food, it won't cure anything. In fact, it'll make your cancer even worse. So you've got to just gobble it up. So what does the scientist do? Well, he wants everybody to be cured, so he plants a bunch of this food, and he says anybody can come and take as much as they want. But he plants all this food way up high on the top of a mountain so that The only way to get to it, you have to climb this whole mountain. So by the time you get there, you're starving. And then you gobble it up and then it'll do its job. That's what God did. That's what Jesus did with the truths of God's Word. They'll heal what's wrong in your soul if you devour it. Not if you snack on it, but if you devour it. And so He puts it, He gives it as much as you want, but He puts it on top of a mountain. You've got to climb to get it. You've got to work hard. That's why He concealed it in order to reveal it. Does that make sense? And please understand, when I say He put it on a mountain, I'm not saying that you have to have some big Bible education in order to understand the Bible. That Bible education can help, but there are people with PhDs in theology that don't get it at all. Right? Understanding God's work is hard work, but it's within your reach. No matter who you are, no matter what you're like, it's within your reach. You can do it. No matter what your training, no matter what your education, no matter what your IQ, every soul in this room has access to the truth of God's Word. If we do what Jesus commands in verse 22 here and look carefully, consider intently, we can understand His Word. You can do it. You've got the Holy Spirit who will enable you to do it. You can do it, but it just requires more effort than just casually reading your Bible. I have a 2-year-old granddaughter. She just turned 2, and somehow she inherited her grandfather's attention span, which she's easily distracted, especially when she eats. She, for some reason, she forgets to swallow. She fills her mouth with food. She fills up her cheeks with food, and then you see her 10 minutes later running around playing. She's still got all that food in her cheeks. And so you always hear her mom and dad constantly telling her, Sadie, chew and swallow. Sadie, chew and swallow. And they have to get her attention. Sadie, chew and swallow. There are a lot of Christians that need to be told that, right? Just chew and swallow. You're running around with your coffee mug theology, just this shallow, all these sayings, like the Lord is my shepherd, so judge not, because He works all things that are good for those who are committed to cleanliness and everything. And somebody needs to just grab those people and say, wait, stop. Chew and swallow. Just, you know, slow down, chew on what you've learned. Think it over. Think deeply. Swallow it and digest it. Spend some time in prayer asking God to give you insight. Do what the disciples did. Go to Jesus and say, Jesus, what does this mean? And then study. Get a Bible commentary. Get a study Bible. Listen to some sermons online on that passage from John MacArthur, John Piper, or Kevin DeYoung, or some good preacher. Or call a pastor that you know. Call me. You can call me anytime. I'll give anybody my phone number. You can call me anytime. Send me an email. And I'll help you work through a passage. Do what you can. But most importantly, think hard about the passage. Mull it over in your mind. Meditate. There's not very many places in the Bible that command you to read the Bible, but there's lots of places where it talks about meditate on it. Meditate. Look at it from every angle. Ask questions. Every time you read the Bible, here, let me just give you 6 questions that will help you think about the Scriptures when you read them. Ready? Here they come. Number 1, what does this passage tell me about what God is like? Number 2, are there any commands here for me to obey? Number 3, are there any promises for me to trust? Number 4, does something in my thinking or my attitudes need to change because of this passage? Number 5, and this is a big one, why is this passage here? Why did God put it here? What's the purpose of it? And then number 6, what would be different for me and the people around me if the purpose of this passage were realized in my life in big, 100-fold fruit-producing ways? What if I did this? What would be different about me? You ask those 6 questions whenever you read something in the Bible, and you'll get all kinds of insights. God will speak to you. What does this passage say about God? Are there any commands to obey, promises to trust? Does something in me need to change? Why is this passage here? And what would be different if I did this? And don't skip that last one. That's crucial because it's not enough to just understand the Bible. We're not going for an education here. You need to put it into practice. Produce a crop. Beliefs that are not acted on won't remain your beliefs very long. Jesus said that those who hear but don't put it into practice are like people that build their house on the sand. Their life's going to collapse. Okay? So that's how, do you understand now how Jesus concealing it, making it hard to understand, protects us from becoming shallow soil? Look at verse 25. Whoever has will be given more. The rich will get richer when it comes to listening to God. Richness in understanding. Salvation is an ever-deepening stream. The farther downstream you go, the deeper it gets, the better it gets, the more there is. The more you strive to understand the Word, the more your ability to understand doubles and redoubles. And that's an incredible promise. I love the way he puts it in verse 24. So if you're nodding off a little bit, just tune back in just for like one more minute, because this is a great point here. Verse 24. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. The measure is what the container that they use when you go to the store and buy some wheat. Okay, so you go there, you buy something at the market, and you'll say, I'll have 2 measures of wheat, please. And then you give him the money, and he gives you 2, whatever size the measure is. And he decides what the measure, the container size is. The Bible's a little bit different kind of store. It's a little bit different kind of market. When you come to the Bible, you decide what size the measure is. So you come to God, you say, I'll have a measure of grace, please. And whatever size container you bring, that's what he'll fill up. You can bring whatever size container you want. You can bring a thimble or a wheelbarrow or a pickup truck, a dump truck. And God will fill it. The measure is the way that you listen. And there's no upper limit to how much God will give you. If your intent in your listening, there's no limit to how much you can receive from God. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
So yesterday's godliness training assignment was to carve out some space in your day where the cares of this life are not allowed. Today, add something to that space. Meditation on God's Word. Find a passage in Scripture, ask the 6 questions, and then talk to God about them. The 6 questions again. What does this passage teach or imply about what God is like? Are there any commands to obey, promises to trust? Does something in my thinking or attitude need to change? Why is this passage here? What's its purpose? And number 6, what would be different for me and for the people around me if the purposes of this passage were realized in great ways? Use your imagination, think about that, and that'll motivate you to put the passage into practice. And if you need help remembering those 6, I've got them posted on the Food for Your Soul Facebook page today. So you can pull up that page, follow it if you like. This is where we post all these podcasts. And feel free to send me a friend request on my personal Facebook page as well. You'll see a link from the Food for Your Soul page to my page. And I'd love to connect with you. Tomorrow's podcast, we'll be looking into what Jesus taught in Matthew. We'll go back to Matthew 6 and see what Jesus taught about the 3 different kinds of warriors and how his instruction in that chapter can help with each of the 3 kinds. See you then.
Thank you for listening. We pray these principles from the Word of God are helping you find the peace of God as you draw nearer to the God of peace. Maybe there's someone in your network who would enjoy these podcasts. You never know how posting a link on Facebook might change someone's day or their whole life. Please remember to pray for this ministry, and remember that we're a crowd-funded ministry, so every gift helps. Just go to treasuringgod.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.